Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Woodman, and today we finally have some big free agency news to talk about. I was waiting for a big free agency signing to drop for Philadelphia to do another podcast, and we have such a signing. The Eagles have actually made a couple of signings at the same position, but I'm going to go over what I think of the two safeties that the Eagles just signed. That is, to me, big enough news to hop on here and make a podcast. I also want to touch on some of the division opponents' signings, because there have been some pretty good signings, especially the Washington football team, which I've been mentioning. I've been saying for several podcasts now, as I did my free agency primer going into the free agency period, I was pointing at the Washington football team and saying, we have to be on the lookout for this team because they already have the best defense in the division. And I think they're only a few players away on offense from being a possible, not a Super Bowl contending juggernaut, but a divisional threat for sure. A team that should be able to repeat in the division. And I think they've made those signings. So that's definitely something that has concerned me. But the Eagles did strike back. The Eagles did go out and pick up a very good player just yesterday in Minnesota Vikings former safety Anthony Harris. This is the guy that's got me fired up enough to jump on here and do a pod today, because this is just a great signing. I mean, I'm going to go over a lot of things about this guy that I really like, but let's go and let's get right into it. So they signed two safeties. One safety, I don't even know if he's really worth mentioning at this point. It's Andrew Adams. He was a backup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His contract is so low that it doesn't even qualify for the comp pick formula. So that's a guy. Wouldn't surprise me if he didn't even make the roster, to be honest with you. That's a signing. If I look at the Eagles depth chart, especially, there's not a ton of space for additional safeties. So they are bringing him on, but I think he's going to be the odd man out at the end of the day, because the Eagles already have, I would say they'll carry four safeties. That's probably the minimum. A fifth safety would probably be if somebody really showed something special in camp, they might carry a fifth safety. But if you look at the safeties right now, with Anthony Harris coming over and the Eagles essentially switching to a cover two zone, which is something that I think we should expect to see the Eagles run a lot of this year. You got your starting two safeties, Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod, whenever he's ready, whenever he comes off of his injury, which I don't know how many weeks into the season that might be. I mean, he suffered a very serious injury very late in the year last year. But long term, those are your two starters, is Rodney McLeod and Anthony Harris. And I feel really good about those two starters in a cover two zone. The Eagles also have a couple other guys that I don't see them moving on from. Guys like Kayvon Wallace, who I don't know how he fits into a cover two zone scheme. He looks more like a third safety to me, a box safety, maybe a slot defender. I don't really trust him in holding down an entire half, a deep half of the field at this point. He didn't even really make any plays last year, so he might be, he's somebody, maybe they ask him to transition to more of like a nickel linebacker type of role or something like that. I don't know what they view him as going forward, because the system that they drafted him for and the system that he's in now are very different. So that's something to keep an eye on. But at the moment, he's a safety, so he would definitely be a third safety option. And then Marcus Epps, who played for the Eagles a lot last year, he's currently the starting strong safety on the depth chart with Rodney McLeod being injured. Graylin Arnold is another guy who they liked. At the moment, he's listed as a cornerback. I'm not really sure. So for Andrew Adams to make this roster, I don't have a ton of hope. I also expect him to either draft another safety or maybe even pick up another one in free agency. So, as of right now, I don't really see a huge path for Andrew Adams to either make the field or even make this team. So that's not a guy I'm going to spend a ton of time on. But Anthony Harris is. Because if you guys don't know, cover two zones, the stress is going to be on the safeties to not give up touchdowns, to make plays. It's not like in previous years where we were all going crazy every time we saw Rasul Douglas or Jalen Mills or, pick a cornerback getting burnt on a double move or getting beat deep outside, and we were like, what's going on? We were just pulling our hair out because we're watching these cornerbacks get beat on, a bit of an island, maybe in a cover three or, a man coverage like they've been running. Those are defenses where the stress is on the cornerbacks. Cover two zone, the stress is going to be on the safety, so you need two good safeties. And Rodney McLeod has done, over the last couple of years, He's been very solid as the single high safety in the defenses. He's done very good, a very good job. So I have no concern that he'll be able to cover his half of the field whenever he's ready, whenever he's healthy. And Anthony Harris, who is should be very familiar with this system. The reason that Anthony Harris came here is because he was in this system under Jonathan Gannon, our new defensive coordinator, in Minnesota. This is a transplant from Minnesota. The connection's obvious. Jonathan Gannon called this guy and said, "Hey, man, come get back to he played at a Pro Bowl level for at least a few years, even though he didn't make a Pro Bowl in Minnesota. He was a very good player in Minnesota for several years, most of which was under Jonathan Gannon. So you can see that connection there. It's very similar to, Jonathan Gannon. He plucks this guy straight from his past, very similarly to when he did it last year with Xavier Rhodes. If you guys don't know the story of Xavier Rhodes, this is a guy who was a multiple Pro Bowler in Minnesota under Jonathan Gannon. Jonathan Gannon left. He went to Indianapolis, and Xavier Rhodes fell off a cliff. Along with, you know, the majority of the secondary in Minnesota has kind of gone downhill a bit since Jonathan Gannon left and went to Indianapolis, because obviously he's a very good coach, a very good cornerbacks coach, as he was in Indianapolis. So Xavier Rhodes fell out of favor in Minnesota. He went to go back to play under Jonathan Gannon. And what do you know? Last year, at the ripe old age of 31, Xavier Rhodes showed that he still had it, and he had a very good year. He didn't go to a Pro Bowl or anything like that, but he definitely rebounded and looked like a very good cornerback last year in Indianapolis. And that's something that has me excited about Jonathan Gannon. This is a guy who we, as Eagles fans, we all know the secondary has been a problem for years. We just never had the ability to fill up our cornerback spots or to maximize the ability of the players that we've had at cornerback. Whether we put, you know, high draft picks into our cornerbacks like Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox, you know, these are guys that are all, you know, day one or day two picks, high draft, you know, high value draft picks that we've been spending on these guys. Whether we go out and we get Darius Slay, we trade for him, he comes in and he doesn't play too great last year. I believe that Jonathan Gannon is the type of guy, especially with his background as a cornerbacks coach, that he's going to get this secondary in shape, and this secondary is going to look better than it's ever looked under Jonathan Gannon. I think that, you know, that's going to be the real key to his success, because the front four knows what they're doing. The front four's got, you know, Pro Bowlers and possible Hall of Famers on it. Guys like Fletcher Cox, guys like Brandon Graham, who've all had success in this league. You know, he doesn't need to spend a lot of time with those guys, okay? They have a lot of really good talented pass rushers that should be able to get the job done up front. His real key to success is going to be getting the guys on the back end, in shape and get them in position to make plays. And I think he's going to do that. So I think this secondary, it looks a lot better now with this signing. Number one, I still would like to see him bring Xavier Rhodes in. I still think that Xavier Rhodes at 31, at the way that the free agency market is right now, I think they could probably pick him up on the cheap and, you know, basically complete this secondary. Now, there is a rumor that they are possibly bringing in former cornerback from the Tennessee Titans, Adoree Jackson. Apparently, he has a visit on Monday, but he's also visiting with the Giants before then, so the Giants might be able to sign him. He might just be using the Eagles as a bargaining chip when it comes to the Giants. He might just be basically saying, like, look, if the Giants don't sign me, I'm going to go across town to Philadelphia and, you know, maybe sign there. I don't know. He's a guy I would definitely like. I mean, no doubt. He's another former first-round pick, a guy that also has some value as a punt returner. He's a speedster. He's a bit of a playmaker. That's a guy that I would love to see to pick up. If they can get Adoree Jackson, obviously I would take him over Xavier Rhodes. But, I mean, either one of them would really make me happy at this point. But a little bit more information on Anthony Harris, and while I'm excited about him, why you guys should be excited about him, I went ahead and I researched a little bit. I remember Anthony Harris being a very big name going into free agency in 2020. He never made it to free agency, by the way. He was one of the top safeties, along with the safety from the Denver Broncos. I think it was Anthony Simmons. Those were like the two biggest names was him and Simmons. They were thought of as two of the best safeties in the league, and they were hitting the free agency market together. Neither one of them made it. They both got franchised. But just an excerpt from Pro Football Focus going into that free agency period. Number one, they had him rated as the eighth highest ranked player on the market, not just by position, not just safeties. The entire free agency market, they had Anthony Harris as the eighth highest rated player. And at the end of the 2019 season, Pro Football Focus had him graded the highest rated safety in the league at a 91.9, which, you know, that's ridiculously high coming off of a season where I think he had six interceptions. Last year, though, he came back down to earth. As for a three-year starter, though, in Minnesota, he was a top 10 safety two times. One of those years was, once again, under Jonathan Gannon, to say the least. And then, last year he fell off a cliff. Everybody in Minnesota, once Jonathan Gannon left, everybody in the secondary pretty much fell off a cliff. We already talked about how essentially Xavier Rhodes, fell off a cliff only to reemerge last year as a very good starting cornerback in Indianapolis under Jonathan Gannon. So these are all things that really make me comfortable about Jonathan Gannon as bringing him in as a defensive coordinator, as a coach. Hopefully he can fix this secondary, which has been a problem for years. So we definitely have something to look forward to there. There are some, like I said earlier too, I also wanted to go over some of our division rivals, how they've been spending their money. And the Washington Football Team has been doing themselves right. That's the team that I've been pointing at, especially when I did in a previous podcast, that they have a lot of money to spend, more money than anybody else. I mean, coming into the free agency period, the Eagles were dead broke. The Giants were dead broke, and the Cowboys were dead broke. So there wasn't a lot to really talk about when it comes to these three teams. But the Washington Football Team had a ton of money. They had like $56 million after they let go of Alex Smith, and they have not been shy about spending it. I talked about their signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick for a little bit in my last podcast. He's a guy who, I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick, number one, he's going to come in here with a chip on his shoulder. He's going to go to Washington with a huge chip on his shoulder after losing his, his starting job as the Dolphins quarterback to no fault of his own. The guy was playing really good football. He was winning games. They were winning games. And they just took the job from him based off the fact that they wanted to play the young guy. So him coming to Washington in a division where, I mean, number one, the last two times the Eagles played him, he beat us. Whether it was with the Dolphins in the year that they were tanking, they weren't even a very good team, and he knocked us off. Or whether it was with Tampa Bay the year after our Super Bowl, he knocked us off with a lot of talent around him, a lot more talent than he has, obviously, in Washington. But they added to that talent a couple of days ago, signing Curtis Samuel to a big deal. I mentioned this in a previous podcast. I said flat out, I might have even said that I did not, I might even mention Ryan Fitzpatrick in a previous podcast as the number one quarterback I did not want the Washington Football Team to sign. But I also said that the Washington Football Team would get a free agency receiver, one of the higher end free agent receivers, and they'd probably have to overpay to do it. And then Curtis Samuel came to be that guy. Now, Curtis Samuel's another guy. I absolutely love watching Curtis Samuel play. He was a great player in college, bit of a gadget guy. Last year in Carolina, though, he became more than a gadget guy. He became a guy that can do a little bit of everything, but he's also a very explosive, very fast, and also very good. He's turned to a little bit of a better deep threat receiver as well. So he's, physically, he's everything that Terry McLaurin is. Now they have two guys that are super fast that are going to be able to spread defenses, and that's a huge issue, especially when you have a guy that likes to go down the field like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a guy who likes to push the ball down the field. They now have at least two very fast weapons for him to address, to attack defenses with, which I think is going to make this a very comparable offense. I think that they have enough weapons now between those two receivers. Antonio Gibson, who had a very good rookie year. I think he had 11 touchdowns. He proved to be a do-it-all back, a guy that can run and catch. He's a guy, heavy in the screen game, very capable running back, which they found last year in the draft. And then they also found Logan Thomas, who looks like a complete find as well, a guy that as the season went on last year in Washington, he got better and better every week. I watched that guy. I don't know if he's got star potential, but I don't know if I want to go that far. But he has, the tight ends in this league, he could probably be a top 15 or top 10 tight end possibly down the line. So they, to me, their offense has a lot of weaponry now, and they also have a lot of young guys as well. guys like Antonio Gandy-Golden, who was, you know, they don't really have that possession receiver. He would be a great addition. If he could develop into that, he would be a great addition to this offense, because ultimately, you know, that's the one thing that's really missing, is they don't really have that. I mean, maybe the tight end Logan Thomas is that guy right now. They kind of used J.D. McKissic in that role last year as kind of a dink and dunk guy. So, I mean, they definitely have a lot of weaponry. Kelvin Harmon's another guy they drafted a couple years ago. You know, if any of these younger guys can develop into a third receiving option, they have everything they need to be a competent offense. And then on the defensive side, we know that that's really their strength. Now, I still feel like they probably need, maybe a little bit of help at linebacker, maybe a little bit of help at, cornerback or safety. They could probably, if you can see, they're going to add a few more pieces. They still have some money left over, and they probably need some help on the offensive line. They don't really have a great offensive line right now, aside from Brandon Schrafe and, you know, Chase Roullier and Wes Schleister. They have some decent guys. Morgan Mogus. These are all solid guys. They definitely could use a left tackle, though. I don't think they ever really filled that spot from when they traded Trent Williams. So the number one pick and the number two pick, they really should try to address a young quarterback. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they might have for a year or two at the most, and he'll probably be pretty successful. But they really need to get a young quarterback on this team and you know, get him going in the system if they ever want to have long-term success. But their number two concern is definitely left tackle. So I would say that, you know, depending on how the draft board falls out for them, I would imagine those would be their first two picks. It shouldn't be too hard to tell, where they're going to be going in that direction. But I've said this once, I'll keep saying it, the Washington football team is a team to watch out for. They're a team to be concerned about, and they're spending their money well in free agency. I didn't even mention, you know, they have guys like Steven Sims, who I thought played pretty good. Cam Sims, these guys are guys that have flashed. They have a lot of, a lot better weaponry now and a competent quarterback. So I would expect, I was really confident that, because of the first place schedule that they have to play, that they wouldn't repeat as division champions, but they have a shot. They really do. They have a chance. I would say right now, it would really be between them and the Cowboys, unless the Eagles can get going here and make some more improvements to the team. Because I'm really happy with this safety signing. I love the contract too. I don't even know if I mentioned it. 1 year, $5 million. This is a contract where if he doesn't improve, they could just let him go. They could just walk away. But I think this is the type of signing where they just want to get him in the door. When they signed Alshon Jeffrey in 2017, it was the same thing. They wanted to get him in the door. They brought him in on a big 1 year deal. I think it was like $12 million. Maybe it was in the teens. I don't really remember how much it was, but they did that to bring him in the door, and then they extended him the year after. I really feel like Anthony Harris, that's the same type of signing. They're just trying to get him in the door, and then they have a bunch of ways to keep him, whether it's, they always have the franchise tags, or whether, I don't know if they signed him to be a restricted free agent, who knows? I don't know the full details of the contract that they signed, the 1 year contract that they signed, but I'm sure that there's, things, maybe he's an exclusive rights, who knows? But I'm sure there's ways that now that they have him here, they're going to try to retain him. It's just that they don't really have a ton of money, to basically sign him. That's just my thought on it. But I do think that they look at Anthony Harris and Roddy McLeod as at least safety options for a couple of years, not just, 1 year like the contract, is termed. But they get the best of both worlds. It's a cheap contract. They're paying Anthony Harris as much as they were paying Jalen Mills last year. And there's no doubt in my mind I'd rather have Anthony Harris at safety than Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills is a very good player. A very good hybrid player, a guy that can play cornerback. He can play, he played linebacker snaps for the Eagles last year. He plays a lot of different positions and he can do a lot of different things. But if you're asking me who I'd rather have as a starting safety in a cover two, no doubt in my mind it'd be Anthony Harris, and you're paying him the same amount. Now, also, Jalen Mills went and got signed for 4 years, $24 million in New England. So, there's no way that's comparing the two. I think I'd much rather have Anthony Harris than paying that type of money to Jalen Mills. Now, speaking of Jalen Mills and keeping an eye on the comp pick formula, I would like to talk about the draft a little bit to end this podcast, because obviously the Eagles are not salary cap heavy. They don't have a lot of money lying around. But they do have a lot of draft picks lying around, and they could be adding more. The Eagles, as of the Marcus Goodwin, essentially he got reverted. If you don't know, Marcus Goodwin, who the Eagles traded for last year in the draft, they essentially swapped sixth round picks, I think it was. Well, he went back to the Niners because he never played for the Eagles, and I guess, I don't know, it must have been like a deadline thing. he reverted back to the Niners, which opened up more cap for the Eagles. And then the Eagles essentially got a 7th-round pick from the Niners. So the Eagles now have 11, they have 11 picks in this year's draft, which is tied for the most in the entire league. And they have several avenues to get more. Now, I'm not going to say that I expect them to draft 11 players this year. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, number one, the Eagles don't have a 4th-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they're very movement heavy in the draft. They like to be aggressive and move up and move back and stuff like that. I expect them to use their later draft picks to do that a lot and move around. I also expect them to try to move back into next year's draft. I mean, that's something that they've done. You know, they have multiple 6th and 7th. They might trade away that pick for, you know, trade away a 6th to get a 5th next year and get nothing in return this year. That's something that they also do. So that wouldn't surprise me if they try to add picks to next year's draft by doing something like that. They do, if you look at the comp pick formula though, that Jalen Mills signing of $24 million is good enough to get them a projected 5th-round pick in the comp formula. So they could add another draft pick that way, just as long as they don't sign a ton of players before the free agency period is over. So And I don't expect them to do that. So even with Anthony Harris signing a 1-year $5 million, all that really does is it cancels out the Rudy Ford signing. The Jaguars signed Rudy Ford for a similar contract, not nearly as much, but it cancels each other out. So that signing doesn't even hurt us in the comp pick formula, really, because that would have possibly been a 7th that wouldn't have probably resulted in Eagles pick anyway. So, you know, as far as the comp pick formula goes, it looks like we're going to stockpile more draft picks because of Jalen Mills. And then also, I think that, you know, we can add more based off of a possible Zach Ertz trade, which could still come down the line. Or my own personal favorite, which is what the Eagles do with the 6th pick. And I've talked about this at length in previous podcasts. I personally think that the number 6 pick in the NFL draft should be a quarterback. Whether it's from the Eagles or not is open for discussion. Like I said, I like Jalen Hurts. I've been on the podcast multiple times professing that I really think Jalen Hurts is a top-notch prospect. With that being said, there's not a lot of positions that I think that the number 6 pick in the draft is worth to the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is something that I'm going by their own philosophy. I'm not going by my philosophy. The Eagles' philosophy is two things. Number one, they want to get a great quarterback, which, you know, every team in the league has to know that they need a great quarterback to win a Super Bowl in this league. And if they think they have that with Jalen Hurts, okay, cool. But the number two thing is typically protecting that quarterback, and that means offensive line. And the Eagles have a great, to me, a great young group of offensive linemen already. I don't really feel like they need a ton of offensive linemen, at least not when it comes to the type of position that you would spend a 6th pick on. When it comes to the 6th pick in the draft, there's only really one lineman that's really worth it, unless you have a generational guard like Steve Hutchinson in the draft, which this draft does not have. Typically, guards and interior linemen, you know, centers, don't get drafted this high. So to me, unless you're going to take, Penei Sewell, at number 6, which I don't even think makes a ton of sense. If you want to maximize players that are already here, like Jalen Hurts at quarterback, you got to have that same mentality with guys like Andre Dillard and guys like Jordan Mailata and guys like even Jack Driscoll, who I thought showed a lot last year. I thought he'd play inside or outside, but I think he's a piece for the future without a doubt. I think he's a very good offensive lineman, whether he plays guard or whether he plays, you know, tackle at some point. And then you also still have Lane Johnson. So that's three guys at least with, like I said, Jack Driscoll possibly developing into something. So that's four guys that you could easily make, make your bookends for the next 5 to maybe 10 years, depending on how they work out. So I don't think that's an immediate need, especially since Jordan Mailata to me looked terrific. So that to me, if you have him at left tackle, Lane Johnson at right tackle, whatever, and then you figure out what you're doing with Andre Dillard. Maybe Andre Dillard turns out, maybe he doesn't. Like I said, I feel comfortable with the tackles. I don't feel that the Eagles need to use the 6th pick on one is the bottom line. So offensive line is out. There's no reason to spend the number 6 pick on an offensive lineman. That is a position, though, that if the Eagles were to decide to address it with the 6th pick, the value is definitely there. The next spot would be defensive line. To me, the Eagles value defensive line probably as high as any team in the league. That's how they won their Super Bowl. That's how they've been a great organization for years, offensive line. For 20 years, offensive line, defensive line for the Eagles has been priority, and it's been some of the reasons that they've been one of the better teams in the league is because they've had strong offensive and defensive lines. There's no offensive or there's no defensive lineman, defensive tackle, or defensive end that, as of right now, is worthy of the 6th pick. So to the Eagles, having the 6th pick to get the most value out of it, if you're not going to take quarterback, is to trade out of that spot. And to move back, maybe trade with one of the – there's a couple of teams right behind the Eagles that definitely need quarterbacks, guys like, you know, the Denver Broncos for one. Two teams in particular, the Denver Broncos, Carolina Panthers. I mean, you know, there's any number of teams that would be, you know, looking to get a quarterback behind the Eagles at six. I mean, most of the NFL would like to take a quarterback from this draft. It's a very good quarterback draft. So if the Eagles aren't going to draft a quarterback, they need to trade back and accrue more picks, either, you know, more first next year, more, you know, second, third round picks this year. I would much rather do that than to take a guy like Kyle Pitts or Devontae Smith, or not that I wouldn't want those guys. I would like to have those guys. But the way that I'm projecting this draft board to go is very quarterback heavy early, and those guys will slide. So if they could trade back to, you know, the Broncos or the Panthers, just a couple of spots, they could possibly get a very high value draft pick and still get one of those receivers. So to me, you know, you could easily, if there's four receivers on the board that you all have pretty similar grades for, which I think that most people do at this point, whether it's Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, or even Jalen Waddle, I would take any one of those four guys. If you want to get a weapon for Jalen Hurts, if you want to build around Jalen Hurts. But I don't think that you're getting maximum value taking them at the number six pick. I would much rather trade back, get a couple of more additional assets and more additional draft picks, and then draft whoever's left on the board, because not all four of them. You could say all the quarterbacks might go in the top 10. Not all the receivers are going to go in the top 10. So to me, that is the number one thing. And I think that might be part of the reason why you're going to see the Eagles look very interested in quarterback this entire way. They might look like, you know, they're going to have, you know, Howie Roseman's going to be at every pro day. You know what I mean? He's going to be there drooling over every quarterback prospect. And whether they fall in love with one or not, you're going to see them show a lot of interest, so that maybe, you know, they can make people think that they're going to be thinking quarterback at six. I think that's got to be a big part of the game plan. And ultimately, I think that, you know, I'm not against quarterback at six, which I've also said. I really like Justin Fields. I think that he is just, I mean, I just saw, I think it was his Instagram or something, where he ran a 4.41. Now, that's not official, but the guy's obviously fast. I mean, we all know that. He doesn't have to run a 4.4 or a 4.45, whatever. You can see he's fast on tape. So he's a guy fast on tape. He's got a rocket arm. His performance against Clemson in that playoff game to get to the national championship this last year 100% sold me. I saw that guy. He just put up a hell of a performance from beginning to end. He took a huge shot, a game that would have knocked a lot of players out, and then he went and delivered four more touchdowns after that, played in the national championship game injured as well. The guy's got toughness. The guy's got all the athletic traits to run any offense you want. He's a quarterback of the future type player, and it wouldn't surprise me if he went as high as number two. He might not even be an option for the Eagles. I don't know how you can look at Zach Wilson out of BYU, who didn't play near the competition that he plays at Ohio State, or go near the, you know, maybe you're splitting hairs, but when it comes to Justin Fields, he's a guy who, you know, we see it every year. I don't want to make this too political, but we see it every year where quarterbacks, you know, just slide for some unknown reason. Guys like Deshaun Watson, who obviously was one of the best players in college football, is one of the best players in the NFL now, slid for some unknown reason. Guys like Patrick Mahomes, who slid for some unknown reason. And then project guys like Mitchell Trubisky go ahead of them. This is a very similar situation to me, where Zach Wilson comes out of nowhere, even though, you know, Justin Fields was clearly the number two pick at quarterback this entire college season. Everybody knew the number one guy was Trevor Lawrence, number two was Justin Fields. Now you're possibly seeing this all of a sudden change, and you know, Zach Wilson jump ahead of him. I don't know why that is. I have my thoughts on it, but ultimately I feel like, you know, we see this a lot. We see guys like Lamar Jackson, who was told to play running back. Specifically African-American quarterbacks, for some reason, get discounted going into the draft, and it usually isn't for the better. It's usually a mistake. That's the bottom line. I don't see how, you know, a quarterback like Justin Fields, with all the potential that he has, you know what I mean? He has, he looks every bit of Lamar Jackson, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, every bit of, you know, he looks almost like a Michael Vick clone, a guy that just has all the physical attributes that you would want. And for some reason, he's just sliding in the draft. Trey Lance is another one who, you know, had an amazing pro day from what I'm hearing. You know, he's a guy who's moving up the boards. So these are guys that the Eagles will definitely, if they want a quarterback, they might have a shot at both of them. I can't say that. I really don't think that, you know, Justin Fields falls to six, though. I feel like Trey Lance will definitely be there, but he's not a guy I'm really interested, to be honest with you. And mostly it's because he comes from the same college that Carson Wentz did, which I don't think is really fair. Because Carson Wentz did have success here. It's just that association. It's almost like I remember the year that we drafted Donald Pumphrey. And the following year, I really liked, I think it was Penny, it was Rashad Penny, was coming out of the same college. I really liked him. I wanted the Eagles to get him, but I was really suspicious based on the fact that he came from the same school. We just drafted a complete bust from that school. But he did end up going to Seattle, and guess what? He was pretty much a bust. He hasn't done anything in Seattle. So it's not surprising. But without a doubt, you know, that is something, since Carson Wentz did have success, you know, he wouldn't be a bad option. I mean, Trey Lance, you know, he's got a lot of talent. So, like I said, to me, number six pick in this draft should be a quarterback. No matter what, it should be a quarterback. Whether with Eagles take him or not, that's 100% up to the Eagles. But, you know, I just feel like there's just no, the value's not there. The Eagles need to trade back. If they're going to get a receiver, you could trade back twice and probably get a very good receiver in the draft, later in the draft. Not necessarily going for that position, you know, as high as sixth. I just feel like, unless it's Ja'Marr Chase, Ja'Marr Chase could be Marvin Harrison 2.0 or something like that. I mean, he could be, you know, the Eagles have to do their homework. If one of these receivers is that much better than all the other receivers combined, and he's sitting there, I don't have a problem with it. That's the one thing about Ja'Marr Chase. We just saw what Justin Jefferson did to the league. You know, had an all-time rookie year, and Ja'Marr Chase played on the same team with him and was so much better than him that they basically made you know, Justin Jefferson switch positions. They were like, look, Ja'Marr Chase is you know, he's so much better that Justin Jefferson had to kick inside the slot. That means something. That to me, that's like the difference between, you know, Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. Like they're both great receivers too, but Odell Beckham was so much better that Jarvis Landry's ass has to play in the slot. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that that can be the difference. So if that's the case, I'm all for that. Speaking of which, too, I mean, I just saw something too. Juju Smith-Schuster signed a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't even know this, but apparently the Eagles offered him more money, and he turned them down to go play back in Pittsburgh. I was just seeing that. I didn't know the Eagles, number one, had money to spend. But it was nice to see that the Eagles were in on one of the most expensive high-profile free agents receivers in the free agency class. And the second that Juju Smith-Schuster signed, they immediately turned their attention to Anthony Harris, and then boom, the Anthony Harris signing happened. So the Eagles are working on these things behind the scenes. It almost makes me wonder if they're possibly in on Kenny Golladay behind the scenes, who's still not signed, who I think is visiting with the Giants as well. Kenny Golladay is an amazing player. If somehow that were to happen, I'm a huge Kenny Golladay guy. This is a guy who's 6'4". He's a field-stretching, fast receiver at that size. I mean, he has all the measurables. He's another guy, because he comes from Detroit, I think a lot of people, he just doesn't get the type of national attention that he should. But I think that he's easily a top 10 or top 15 receiver in the league when healthy and when playing at his full potential. He's an amazing player. If that were a possibility, if they are still behind the scenes working on this and we're just not hearing any rumors about it, because I didn't hear anything about them being in on Juju Smith-Schuster until after he signed. So, you know, that's very interesting. If there's some behind the scenes stuff going on right now and the Eagles are possibly trying to work on Kenny Golladay, that would be an amazing addition. If they did that, then they definitely don't need to sign. They definitely don't need to draft a guy at six. Let's just put it that way, because this is a very good receiver draft too. They could easily draft a guy in the second round and be just as, you know, just as fortunate, because this is a very deep draft when it comes to receivers. So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. If you guys made this far and you're not a follower, I would love a follow. If you could just hit that follow button for me, could always use more. This is a fairly new podcast, so I'm going to be covering every free agency signing the Eagles do, as well as, you know, stuff leading up to the draft. So I'll definitely have plenty more content as news breaks. I'll try to do at least one podcast a week, if not two, depending on how busy the week is. But that's it. So other than that, thanks for listening. This is Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thanks for listening.